Luke. Luke chapter 24, verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do your doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. While they were still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." We began last week to talk about this ministry that Jesus had between the resurrection and the ascension. And as we look at this same passage again, we see that Jesus gave them a story to tell. We live in a day in which humanity has convinced itself that any story will do. But God gave one story, and it is wondrous. He gave us a promise. There is a way to forgiveness. He said, "Here it is." The Christ had to suffer, die, and rise again on the third day. Those are the facts of the gospel. Jesus did something that no other religious leader has ever done. Every religious leader says, "I've got truth for you, take it." But then they die, and who knows whether it was true or not. Trust them. Jesus said, "Here's the truth." Not just as the contemporary song says, "He came from heaven to earth to show the way." No, Jesus said, "The truth is, I came from heaven to earth to be the way." Jesus had to die in my place because I couldn't do it. He had to suffer so I don't have to. Before I go on, I just want to, can you imagine the arrogance of turning around? After God himself says there's only one way, when God the Son prays to God the Father, "Father, if there is any other way." And we turn around and go, "My way's okay." We've got some parents here with their children. I want you to think about what it would be like to offer your child to die for someone else. Can you imagine sitting your child in the electric chair? Putting the rope for the gallows around them, so that another person could go free. And then, the next day, you see on the news an interview with that person. Freed by the death of your child. And they sit on TV and go, well, I was a good guy, so they just let me out. Told you all along I was a good guy. I'm good enough on my own. Can you imagine the rage you would feel? At the sacrifice of your child. And Jesus said, this is the facts of the gospel, the Son of Man, the Christ. Jesus Himself had to suffer and die and rise from the dead. There is no other way to heaven. You cannot go to confession enough. You can't say enough mantras, whether it's some Buddhist chant or our fathers. There's nothing you can say were it to be on your tongue every hour of every day from the moment you were born till the day you die. There's not enough you can say to make up. God says there's a way of forgiveness and He's paid that way. Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And then God gave us a means to appropriate that forgiveness, and that is repentance. Now, that's part of the message. You've heard it, but do you know that you have people that you know that sit in church week after week that maybe you talk about their church service, and if you talk to them and they'll go, oh, the music was one, the praise band was just rocking this week. But there are multitudes of people, millions in America, who will sit in church this very hour as we sit here and will not hear a single word about the message that Jesus gave us to preach, and that is that we need to repent. He said, that's how you get forgiveness. You need to turn. It's not enough that Jesus died. If it was enough that Jesus died, we wouldn't need a message. You and I have a part to play. We have to repent. Turn around. Turn away from sin and turn fully to God. And then He offers that wondrous gift, forgiveness. Oh, there's a lot of people today that don't believe forgiveness is very necessary. But we must understand Ezekiel 18:20. Ezekiel 18:20 says this. Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sins, it shall die. Period. The soul that sins, it shall die. Doesn't say the soul that sins a million times. It says the soul that sins. How many murders do you have to commit before you're a murderer? Well, you know, I've only killed 26 people. When I hit 30, then I'm a murderer. How many lies do you have to tell before you're a liar? How many times do you have to take God's name in vain before you are a blasphemer. But you and I can be forgiven. Oh, what a wondrous gift. That's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. I want you to look at something. Will you look with me over at John's Gospel, the 13th chapter? John chapter 13. John 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover. This is the night of the Last Supper. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He now showed them the full extent. Find it interesting. 21 years ago, the Christian film series, The Apocalypse, Revelation, Tribulation, and Judgment, that film series came out 21 years ago. Can you believe that? I've been hoping, we've been having all kinds of issues. I really want to show that whole series again because I just think it's so interesting to see how prophetic it has been about where the world is today. And you look at the world today and what they said, and you look at it, and it's like they wrote those movies yesterday, not 21 years ago. The world, because it's ruled by Satan, tries to brand Christianity as a hateful religion. When as believers we stand up and say, excuse me, that God set rules for who you can marry and who you can't, the world says you're a hater. The world says when you say other religions aren't good enough, you're a hater. But it isn't hatred at all. It's love. If you had a friend, and let's say they took heart medication, and you watch somebody sneak in to the office where their little pill box was sitting on the desk and open it up and dump it out and put in fake ones to replace it. Would it be hateful to tell them don't take that medication? Someone just tricked you. It'd be the most loving thing you could do. Because you see, when Jesus said Christ must suffer and rise from the dead and repentance be preached for the forgiveness of sins, He knew it was the only way. That's why Acts 4:12 says this, neither is there salvation found, Acts 4:12, in anyone else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I remember years ago watching an old movie. I thank God they still edit movies for TV, because they take movies that are just nasty and they cut out the stuff and they make them watchable. I remember this guy was driving through the desert in the middle of the night and he's sleepy and the family's there. One of the kids go, "Hey, Dad, there's a sign that said there's a bridge out ahead." He goes, "Nah, there's no bridge out. We're in the middle of the desert." Kid goes, "Dad, I know I saw a sign that said there's a bridge out." He goes, "Nah, because if there was a bridge out, there'd be a big barricade." And he looks up and there's the barricade. Room right off the bridge. God. We have so many people hurtling towards the bridge out. And there is only one name that saves. Now someone says, "Well, that's just arrogant." No, it's wondrous, because before Jesus, there were a total of zero. I don't care if they come up with 1,000 cures for cancer. I just want them to find one. It's all it takes, isn't it? And if they come up with one cure, anyone who takes this cure, any cancer, they're instantly cured. Is there anybody here stupid enough to say, "Well, I won't take that one because it's too exclusive"? Oh, I thank God that there is a name. But we must be very careful. Look with me over at the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Because it's so easy to turn away from that one gospel. It's so easy to give in and say there's other ways. It seems so loving. "Oh, you know, I have this friend. How could they be lost? They're so sincere. They're such a nice person. How could they ever be lost?" Here's what the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Galatia, Galatians 1:6. Galatians 1:6. "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." You see, there's a different gospel. If you turn on the TV today and listen to some of the most popular churches in America, you will hear a different gospel. Because the one word that Jesus said is the message to preach is the one word never heard. Which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. And the Greek is very strong. Let them go to hell. Because that's where they're going to go. Somebody says, "Oh, he swore." No, hell is not a swear word. Hell is an accurate description of a place. Hell only becomes a swear word when we use it lightly or frivolously or treat it as it's a joke. Because hell is no joke. It's real. And it's horrible. And Jesus died so that no, not one person ever need go there. And that's why he gave us a gospel that saves. The Christ must suffer and rise from the dead, and repentance will be preached for the forgiveness of sin. Look with me over at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Just over a few pages before Galatians. 2 Corinthians 11, 4. For if someone comes to you, 2 Corinthians 11, 4, and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached. There is a different Jesus out there. Or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, what's the full name of the spirit? What's the name of the spirit? The Holy Spirit. Is his name the Tolerant Spirit? The Anything Goes Spirit? The Do What You Want To Spirit? The Everybody's Okay Spirit? Or is his name the Holy Spirit? You see, there's a different spirit. Or if you receive or a different gospel from the one you accepted, here's what he says, you put up with it, you tolerate it easily enough. I don't know how many people I talk to that claim to be born again Christians, but when you really push on the issue and you say, you know, they go, well, I just don't want to argue with people, you know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. That is true. But that doesn't mean that their opinion is right. I'm entitled to have the opinion that I can fly, but as soon as I try to jump off a building, I'm going to discover that my opinion doesn't matter. Only gravity does. And I may be entitled to hold my opinion, and there's no one that has a right to tell me that I can't have my opinion, but that doesn't mean that my opinion will save me. And Jesus said, we've a message to preach. And that message is not everybody gets to make up their own. That message is not you can do your own thing. That message is God has made a way. And here's the last point, and we're done. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. You see, Jesus gave us that message, and here it is. The Son of Man, the Christ, has to suffer and rise from the dead, and that repentance will be preached for the forgiveness of sins. And here's the task. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. The world won't know unless we tell them. That's why he said we need to go and preach. I was talking with somebody a while ago and they said, it's none of your business what I believe. And I said, unfortunately for you, that's wrong. Jesus made me his ambassador. And because I represent the God who created you as one of his ambassadors, it is my job. Have you ever thought about that? What people believe is our job. If you know Christ, you've been made an ambassador. And because you're an ambassador, it is your job to go to a lost world and say there is a message that saves. The Christ must suffer and rise again, and repentance will be preached. And then you will have forgiveness of sins. Thank God for the message he gave us. Let's bow together. Oh God, I thank you for a gospel that saves. Lord, I pray today for that one person who's here today that may say, I'm not entirely sure that I have that salvation. There's no magic words. There's no magic prayer that's written and highlighted in the Bible that if we just mouth these words, but there is a message. Repent. Turn around. Turn back to God. Surrender to Him. Put up your hands and say, God, I give up. I'll do it your way now. Oh God, I thank you for a message that saves. In Jesus' name, amen.